All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
Quickly, let's get into our teaching for today. I'm going to read a few verses of the scriptures to commence our teaching for today. The first one I want to read is from the book of Joshua chapter 14. The book of Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to read from verse 6, and where I'm going is verse 15. That means we'll have to read about 10 verses. For that reason, I'm going to jump and read fast. From verse 6, then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. Of course, you know, this was after Moses had gone and Joshua was doing the exploits that the Lord commanded that he should do. The sons of Judah drew to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, all right, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." This story, of course, is referring to something that happened in the book of Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14 when they went to spy that land. You know the story very well. "Nevertheless, my brethren," verse 8, "who went up with me, made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully." Please let me go over the last portion. He said, "My brethren made the hearts of the people melt with fear," that is by the words that they spoke, "but," he said, "I followed the Lord my God fully." Let me read that one more time. He said, "but," I want to read it with me, all right? "But I followed..." All right. He said, "but I followed the Lord my God fully." In verse 9, he now said, "So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Why? Please answer very warmly. "Because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Now, what is the reason he gave for why? Listen to what the promise he gave in verse 9. He says, "Surely the land which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Please, look up at me. What was the reason he gave why he will be so blessed that the children, that he will have an inheritance for himself and for his children forever? What was the reason he gave? He said, "because you have followed the Lord my God fully." Fully. All right. Please notice that. Say, "and now behold," please, oh, verse 10, "the Lord has let me live." Joshua was saying to, Caleb was saying to Joshua, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses. He said, "and now behold," I just jumped a line there, "I am 85 years old today." And I described the strength that he had in verse 11. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now, for war and for going out and coming in." Now, in our said verse 12, please. "Now then, give me this hill country," all right, "about which the Lord spoke on that day," that is through Moses, "for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great 45 cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken." Now, next emphasis is the words of Joshua to Caleb, his brother. He said, "Joshua blessed him and gave him Hebron, and gave Hebron to Caleb. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb until this day." Again, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. I want to read verse 15 for emphasis. "Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba. For Abba," if you are using the New American Standard, "for Abba was the greatest man among the Anakim." Anakim referred to the giants. Is that okay? All right. "Then the land had rest from war." Now, please, of course, what Joshua was talking about here, what Caleb was referring to, like I mentioned earlier, is what happened in the book of Numbers. Is that okay? All right. When they sent spies to the land, to go and spy out the land. You know the story. Do I have to go over the story? No, not at all. I'm sure we're all aware of how the story went. 12 spies went, 10 came back and said the land had problems. Very nice land, no problem with the land itself, but taking it, don't even go near. Because the giants, amongst other things, said the people are strong, the cities are fortified. And I said, we also saw the sons of Anak there. Now, Moses, Caleb said what he said, and God threatened to destroy everybody, except he emphasized Caleb, all right? And of course, if you read different references, the same thing applied to Joshua, because the two of them said the same thing, all right? Now, he said, the reason why I'm not going to destroy Caleb and Joshua, like Moses referred to it later, is because they followed me fully. Now, I read this one from the book of Joshua here to see how God blessed the man that followed him fully. And my emphasis today is on that issue of following the Lord fully. You see a blessing attached to the fact that people followed the Lord fully. I was saying something that Joshua, I read that whole thing down to verse 15, talking about the sons of Anak, all right? Because he said that area, Hebron, was initially called Kiriath Arba. That is the land of Arba, essentially, all right? He said, because Arba was the greatest amongst the Anakim. So that was his land. Yet, the man who followed God fully, at the age of 85, he took the land that belongs to the biggest of giants. That's what I want to say. That's why I read it up to that level. I'll go on to discussing the issue of following God fully. But my emphasis now, for these first few minutes, is that when Caleb followed God fully, the hardest thing was what God did for him. He didn't give him the simple land, you know. He gave him Kiriath Arba. And the Bible says, why was it called Kiriath Arba? Because that was a land that belongs to the strongest of giants. His name was Arba. Why was he able to do that? Because he followed God fully. I've said this again and again. Listen, the more I think about it, the more I'm persuaded. I said to you before, God doesn't understand disadvantages. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, that's why to him, say, Lord, if only you had made my father very rich. See my friend Frank here, or you know, Fidel is here, whatever be your name of your friend. His father set him, as soon as he left school, the first thing the father gave him was a car. He arranged, his friend gave him a job. Immediately was moving on. People are now telling me that I didn't try. When we were in school, I was better than him. But his father set him up. Oh, my greatest disadvantage in life is that there was nobody to set me up. So God, why didn't you just ensure that I had somebody to give me that initial advantage? And God says, this is what I'm saying. To me, it makes no difference. If a man follows me fully, I will make him far bigger than any human being can make anybody. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So why do you want me to make the efforts to give you an advantage that is not an advantage actually? Are you following what I'm saying? He said, look, all I'm telling you, you know, I told you before when we're talking about, I'll get back to it later. If you say, why didn't God do it so that I'll be raised in a very godly family and all of that? God said, it makes no difference to me. After all, one of the ancestors, or what's her name, Rahab, of Jesus Christ, was a harlot. So for me, it doesn't mean anything. As long as you will follow me fully, you will be amazed at what I can do. Because, look, the end of a thing is more important than the beginning. So if I walk on you, if you follow me fully, you will look back and you won't be able to recognize where you came from. Do you understand my point? So, as far as God is concerned, the only disadvantage you have in life is the degree to which you are not following Him. Did you hear what I said? The only disadvantage, it is absolutely not the color of your skin, the country you were born in, the absence of an American visa in your life, the absence of a European passport in your life. That is absolutely not part of it. He said, oh, if only I studied a good course by now, I'll get a good job, I'm earning a good money, and there's some good amount of money. God said, that's not the issue. Listen, if you put all of those who are not following me together, you can be seeing those differences. So you know what I'm saying? Like, all of them are non-followers of God. So you see the one whose father helped, the one who inherited a mental problem, you understand my point? The one who inherited disorder in their family, then those who are very other, you will see those differences. Because if I stretch my hand to the midst of them, anyone who answers me, he said to Peter, follow me, and I will make you into what nobody in your family ever was. So as far as I am concerned, the only problem is the degree to which you do not follow me. That's what I'm teaching today. Fully following God. Do you get my point? That's the first scripture. All right, quickly, there was one you helped me search out just now, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's quickly read that one. We'll tie the two together in our message today. Verse 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5 is actually where I'm looking for. It says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. He said, and these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Let me just stop there, because my emphasis for today is verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Let me tell you a joke, make you laugh. There's this cartoon strip in one of these newspapers. I used to read those. I can't remember whether it's Vanguard or one of them. Chicks and Company. Some of you may remember Chicks and Company. So one day, Chick was in class, and the teacher said, Chick, he said, yes, ma, where are you from? He said, Edo State, ma. And the teacher said, which part? The boy said, all of me. He said, all of me, ma. I mean, my head cannot be from Edo State. Why my legs are from Enugu State? Now, that was a joke. But this interesting part, that's actually what we do with loving the Lord. Let me tell you something. When God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, it means it is possible to love him with only a part of your heart. And with all thy soul, that is, there are people who love him only, are you following me? With part of their soul. And with all thy might, some divide it into pieces. They love the Lord with part of the might. They love their wives with part of the might. They love their neighbor with part of the might. In that sense, Pastor Frank, this is not good. They are good, but you'll see what I'm saying later on. And they love Satan with part of it also. But more importantly, they love the world with part of it. That's why we are commanded. You see, look at this. They write a commandment to Christians and say, love not the world. What does that tell you? It is possible for a man to love God with one part of his heart and love the world with another part of his heart. So he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. What I'm discussing is that totality of following God. Where were we? Let me just continue from where we stopped. We have been talking about the importance of the Word of God, and we finally gave a title to the series. We said, where life begins. Now, listen to me. I want to say something to you. I believe, I'll tell you my reason in a moment. I believe this is a special prophetic teaching for now. Now, I'm not saying I'm a prophet. Let me just explain what it means. I don't like to sound highfalutin. You know, so they say, we have a preacher that's a prophetic teacher. That's not what I mean. I will tell you my reason. I believe God is calling out to Christians at this time, this January 2011, that they need to lay emphasis or return to the first love, which is the Word of God. You know why? A few days ago, I was in my office. One of my colleagues is also a Bible teacher. In fact, when I joined my fellowship on campus, the first day I entered the place, I still remember he was in front teaching Bible. It was 2 years my senior university. All right? We work in the same office now. He said, we're in the office during the week and we're discussing, talking about the importance of the Word of God. many things. You know, all these political things going on now. We talked about many things. You understand? We explain how people prosper by God's word and how why you should be careful when you are following or judging people. That as far as you are concerned, follow the word of God. Along the line, he said, do you know I started a series, a Bible teacher in his church. So I started a series 2 weeks ago. I titled it The Word of God. I said, what did he say? I said, when I began this series here in January, you can still see my notes if I check on my computer. One of the, in fact, the file in which I stored what I wanted to teach is titled, What is the Word of God? He and I never discussed until about 3 days ago. And this is the fourth in our series. And he said 2 weeks before that, for him, this weekend will be the third in his own series, that he began to teach on the Word of God, trying to lay emphasis on the importance of God's Word to believers. And he and I did not discuss it at all. So I said to him, I said, Martin, this must be the Holy Spirit. That means something is about to happen. Are you getting my point? Listen, I was saying something to you earlier. God doesn't understand these advantages. Not because they are not there, but because they pale in the presence of his power. They suddenly are no longer significant. Do you get my point? Let us assume you are a multi-millionaire. You want to help people. And you go to one backward bush village somewhere. And there, they have one local champion. You understand? Who has about 200 tubers of yam. Are you getting my point? And there's another guy there who's coming there, he has only 2 tubers. To you that came with millions of dollars to help people, whether you have 200 tubers of yam or you have only 2 tubers of yam. In fact, when I'm carrying you people away, the tubers of yam will be irrelevant. I'm going to take you to places where men spend the amount of money needed to buy 200 tubers of yam, all right? They spend it breakfast time to help themselves and a few people. Do you get my point? So the young man who says, I don't have enough yam, say, it doesn't matter. The man that has plenty is nothing as far as I'm concerned. And that's how we are with God. I said to you before, what you call an advantage, as far as God is concerned, is actually a disadvantage. Why? Because it gives you hope. You understand? And that hope can fail. There are two types of hope. Hope based upon things that are seen, and there's a hope in which Abraham hoped against the first hope, based upon that which is not seen, which is the word of God. Usually those who don't have anything find it easiest to lay hold of that hope which is not seen. They asked Catherine Kuhlman. No, Catherine Kuhlman was teaching because the power of God was manifested mightily through her. She said, though not very true, right? You understand what I'm saying? When I said not very true, I don't mean she was lying, but you will see what she gave up. She said that I had nothing. I was nothing. So following God was easy. Say, if I had a lot of things, maybe it would have been difficult. Say, but for me, to obey God was easy. Why? There was nothing to hold. Because God had made her leave the man she loved more than God at a particular point in time. And the Lord said to her clearly, that is not your husband. I can't go into detail of the story. She married somebody else's husband. And God said, forget, not here. After struggling with him for 6 years, finally she left. By the time she left, she had nothing. She had a briefcase, a history she wanted to forget. She took a train and left, not knowing where she was going. So what she's saying is that to follow God was easy after that. When I say she was wrong, is that to make that decision to come to the position of having nothing was a serious matter. She said, that's what I'm referring to, that following God was simple for me. Because I came to a point where there was nothing to lose. A man came to Jesus once and said, what must we do to gain eternal life? What must I do? Let me tell you again. When they said, what must I do to gain eternal life? When they would say things like that, they knew what they were saying. There are many troubles in this world. You know that. There are those who woke up this morning, they are not sick, nothing. They said, let them just cross the road. A car brought them down. They are dead as at now. There are many. I saw a news flash on CNN, on my phone some time ago. They say 106 people dead in cross fighting between Southern Sudanese soldiers and rebels. They woke up in the morning, they were healthy. Do you understand that point? There are those, Australia, flood came, wiped out everything. Is it Indonesia or It's Sri Lanka, one of those countries. Flood. Bam! Destroying rice fields all over the place. They woke up in the morning, they were rich. At night, they are poor. Australia is very funny. After floods finished, fires started. Those are the troubles of life. Let me summarize what I'm trying to say. Those who had eternal life always rode above those things. Joshua will go to war and would not lose a battle. David will fight people bigger than him and would not lose a battle. Are you getting my point? The day Jacob met Pharaoh, Pharaoh opened his mouth and said, "Sir, how old are you?" What am I saying? Those were the manifestations of God's life in people. As a young boy, Joseph gave a word of wisdom. If you don't want to know the meaning of the word of wisdom in 1 Corinthians 12, that's really what it means. To have insight into solving problems that will make human beings marvel. Joseph gave a word of wisdom and Pharaoh opened his mouth. Men understood all these things. They had happened before. So when they say eternal life, that's what they were describing. It wasn't a joke. They were not trying to live forever. What must I do to gain eternal life? Are you getting my point? And the young man came to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You know why you can't gain eternal life? You have too many advantages. Sell all that you have." God, he wasn't looking. You know, Jesus was not looking for an offering. Thank God he's not a pastor of these days. Because that gospel would have been difficult to preach. Because if you say, okay, go and bring, you know, if it's us, say, go and bring all that you have. Jesus said, go and sell it and go and give to the poor. Understand that I'm not saying it because of what I want to get from you. Go and give to the poor. Jesus used to receive offerings. But he said, no, this one, go and give to the poor. It's not because of what I want to get from you. He said, when I have removed all your natural advantages, then you'll be able to lay hold of that which is life indeed. Advantages are the problems, not disadvantages. Are you getting my point? Let me say another thing to you about following the Lord fully. There's one thing I have noticed. Let me say it. Please, this is very important. I don't know why God is like that, but that's how he is. In medicine, in physiology, if you study biology, physiology, medicine, you learn this. There's what we call the all or none phenomenon. All or none. You know, when the people, the children of Israel, left Egypt, everybody was excited. They were all excited. Deliverance at last. Deliverance at last. You know, Egyptians are excited now. And I don't know what is exciting them. They forced Mubarak to resign this morning. And they are excited. I said, what is exciting about it? What's coming up next? You don't know. Only a foolish man rejoices at times like this. In the day of adversity, Solomon said, consider. This is a day of adversity. Consider. You shouldn't rejoice. You see Mubarak. When Solomon died, Israel rejoiced. You know that. Because the last days of Solomon was a difficult time. They rejoiced. But when his son mounted the throne, the new thing, the father, please wake up from the dead. So I say, why are the Egyptians rejoicing? I'm talking about the Israelites. This is what happened to them. The day of deliverance, they also rejoiced. But that's the beginning. With all that rejoicing, God doing something great for them. Do you know, listen to this, God who delivered them from Egypt was going to kill them in the wilderness. I don't know what I heard. The same God who delivered them from Egypt was going to smoke them in the wilderness. Moses was the one that couldn't stand the embarrassment. Don't think Moses had to explain to God what God overlooked. You know, Moses said that they will hear that you deliver them. They will now say that because you could not complete the deliverance, you now kill them in the wilderness. Ha, ha, you know. God said, okay, since it bothers you, Moses, I will leave them, but they will still die. I've realized something about God. We can't outthink him. We can't. We used to think that Abraham prayed, oh, power of the intercessor. He prayed and prayed until God changed his mind so as to accept 10 righteous people, so as to deliver Sodom and Gomorrah. That was not what happened. You know what God said to Moses, Abraham in effect? If you think I'm so stupid that I will come down if they're up to 10. You don't get what I'm saying. He said, will you deliver them? Will you destroy their up to 20 righteous people? God said, do I look like an idiot? I said, 20? No, I wouldn't have come in the first place. What about 10? Look at me. If they had 10 people, I won't waste my time. What am I saying? We can't outthink God. Abraham did not outthink God. God only allowed that conversation to demonstrate to Abraham that anything you can think about, I thought about it ahead. What am I saying? Moses said, deliver them. You want to kill them now? It's you that can't stand the embarrassment. God said, I can. It doesn't worry me. And just watch it. I'm still going to kill every single one of them. The only difference, I won't kill them now. But all of them that incited the other people against me, I will make sure they die in the wilderness. And these 10 spies died on the spot. I'm going to something. You have to follow God fully. Those who did not died where? In the wilderness. That is one thing about Christianity. That's why you hear that a man, after he gave his life to Christ, his life has been going down, 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 down. This is the truth. A lot of people don't follow God fully. They accept deliverance out of Egypt. They get into the wilderness. They start misbehaving. You hear what I said? That's what happens to a lot of believers. We accept salvation, which is deliverance from Egypt. We get into the wilderness, misbehavior commences. Somebody now tells us that, believe it or not, you are a child of God. I say, we are not servants, we are sons. If ordinary servants can be like this, how much more sons? And God says, I only spare the sons that are sons indeed, and they are sons indeed because they are sons that serve me. Any son that's not a servant is about to die. Christians get laid down in the wilderness because they don't follow fully. Like I said to you, I noticed that God is not easily embarrassed. You can embarrass him once in a while. In fact, the one that embarrasses is when you do iniquity and he doesn't punish you. You know? So what I said, go and ask David. David did all kinds of things. God overlooked when he killed Uriah and took his wife. You know, he said, sorry, sir. And the Lord said, okay, don't worry. The story is accepted. Later on, I'll teach you about what they call the cleansing of unrighteousness. I learned that thing a few weeks ago. I was afraid. I learned it a few weeks ago. That is, he's able to forgive and then cleanse. Before, I thought that he would just take your heart, pour his spirit inside, and then you are clean. I have found out now there are two sides to cleansing. There's the cleansing of the heart. Then we have to cleanse the effect of all the nonsense that you did. And that's what he did to David. He said, okay, we are forgiving you. Abi, I will forgive him. Sit down. But so that nobody will repeat this and just be asking for forgiveness anyhow, let us explain to the rest of the generation that this is really bad. That this is what's going to happen. David suffered that the iniquity might be cleansed. What am I saying? We cannot afford as believers to get deliverance from Egypt, enter into the wilderness and start misbehaving. No, we can't. I've said to you before, Christianity is not a feel-good thing, you know? If it is not sweet, it is the devil. God only knows how to do sweet, sweet things. If you are a father, would you want your children to suffer? No, it's true. I won't want my children to suffer. That's why I punish them myself, so that life will not punish them. I do the punishment myself, so that life will not punish them. And God does that. I'm not trying to scare you with the severity of God, but I want you to understand that there's a call for believers to serve him fully, to follow him fully. And that it's possible to follow people half, God half. And that's what I'm teaching today. We've been talking about the word of God, the importance of God's word. We must follow God by his word fully. How else do I say it? Completely. Totally. We must. We're talking about God's word. One thing, the common way by which people follow God, all right, these days, because I did a small analysis. Is that okay? The place, because there are different parts to the word of God. There are different parts. And one portion of the scriptures that really analyzes the different parts is Psalm 91 and Psalm 119. Don't bother opening to it now, but when you get home, you can take time out to read it. You will find out. Just take one Bible. Don't use too many, because they will use too many. There will be so much confusion. Just use one and look at different words. You will see about 6 different words used to describe the word of God. One of them is thy word. Everybody say, thy word. That is one. I'm using the New American Standard now. That's one. Now, actually, when you see, quicken me according to thy word. That's what David will say. My soul clings to the dust. Quicken me according to thy word. Anytime you see thy word is thy promise. Do you understand? There's a promise that you have given to your servant. There is a word that you have given to your servant in which you have caused me to hope. That's a promise. That's, you see the word, thy word. But the other words you see, for example, tell you about precepts. He'll tell you about precepts. That's another part. What are precepts? Precepts are the principles of God upon which his commandments are based. That's the next word. You see the word commandments. That's the third one. Precepts are God's principles. There's a way David said it, which is very interesting. Let me see whether I can quickly get to it. I wrote it down somewhere here. All right. If you read Psalm 119, if you use the New Living Translation, yes. He said, oh, that my actions will consistently reflect your principles. Then I will not be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands. That's what I want to read. Verses 5 and 6, sorry. Psalm 119. This is the New Living Translation. So you see words like that, precepts. Principles, if you use the New Living Translation, instead of using precepts, there are some Bibles you will use. NLT will use principles. So what he says, if the summary of it is that the commandments of God are based upon what? The principles of God. So David said, if I order my life consistently, my actions, to reflect your principles. He said in verse 6, then I will not be disgraced when I compare my life with your commands. He said, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Laws are commandments. You understand? But there are people who know God. They walk with him. Even when there is no command, all right, they do that which is right. That's what David was saying. I'm talking about the word of God. There are promises. Thy word, he will say. Then there are precepts upon which you have commanded, commandments founded. Then there are testimonies. That's another word you see. God is that Psalm 119. I don't have time to go through it now. Now, what are testimonies? I like the way Vines explains it. Testimonies are like personal commandments. Do you follow my point? There are commandments that are general, but there are some that are personal. For example, you've seen people say that, you know, actually it used to cause confusion in the body of Christ. In our church, we don't watch television. In our church, we don't drink Coke. In our church, everybody must pay 10% of their income to the church. Listen to me. Those are what they call testimonies. You can have a ministry upon which you find that anybody who says a member. Do you understand? That's what they must do. It's not a sin. Do you get my point? But it's not a commandment. It's a testimony. You get what I'm saying? A man can decide that, for me, I must never use any metal on my body, whether as a wristwatch, or as a ring, or as a necklace. Testimony. Don't laugh at him. Listen to me. None of your business. Personally, the only time I have a problem is when they want to now make their own personal testimonies commandments for other people. That's when I have an issue. It is wrong for a woman to fry her hair, because if you fry your hair, there are things of the world. Arrant nonsense. But it is possible that the Lord said simply, you will never. I mean, there were people God commanded to scrape their hair. There are people also. I mean, give an example. You know, Samson. Samson was, he said, no razor shall touch his hair. Now, that was Samson. There were many priests in Israel. There were prophets who shaved. Doesn't concern them. What Samson decided, that that's his own issue. Those were Samson's testimonies. And the day that Samson removed his hair, his strength went. His anointing disappeared. As a man, when you break your own personal testimonies, testimony in the scriptures, Psalm 119, it's not what God has done for me. No, it's what God has commanded that I must never do. Others may, but I mustn't. Now, I've given about four different parts of the word of God. All of them is part of following God fully, following the whole word of God, following the law with all thy heart. What Christians love these days, or let me use the word, churchgoers, we like to follow God only by his promises. I claim it. I receive it. The one very common word these days is what? Not my portion. If you have never heard it, you not heard it? I mean, for example, I'm a doctor. Maybe you're talking to a patient, all right? You're counseling somebody, said, I remember once, this will make you laugh. That day, I was so angry, I won't tell you what I did. I'm a pathologist. Then I was in training. And a woman came to look for her report. You know, the way it is in Nigeria, patients still handle their specimens. So they came from outside, had a skin sample. This is going to make you laugh. And when she came, let's assume her histology number is 1025. All right? I can't remember the number. That's number 1025. 1025. So when she went to pick up her report, she observed that 1024 was ready. 1026 was there. But 1025 wasn't there. So I think somebody had gone and talked to the doctor. So she came to her office and told us her problem. So one of my colleagues, Dr. Ramola, just tried to explain to her that, look, the fact that, of course, you know, typical Nigerians, they think that you have to grease somebody's palm for your work. That was one thing. In fact, my department were so bad that if you dashed us money, we gave you back to you. That's how my chief trained us. We did things because they were right. So maybe she thought, you know, she came from a federal government office. She's a civil servant. He said, number 1024 is ready. And 1026 is ready. My own is 1025. So my colleague just said to her that, you see, some of these things, which is a matter of fact, are more difficult than others. So the easiest one, go, my own will not be difficult. Oh, look at this idiot. Your own is already difficult. That's why you are here. You know, there's something led to it because she was insulting my chief. I had one a senior there. I was so angry with her. That's a typical, you know what I'm saying, Christian. No, they just said that, look, and there was no big deal. Some things are easier to interpret. Some cases, we younger, we training guys, we just say, oh, this is this, or just write it up, show it to the chief, and it results out in one day. But some, you will break head, break neck, do another test, you still, you know what I'm saying? It happens like that. But Christian just enter and say, no, my own will not be difficult too. That's what I mean by people operating only by what? Promises. That's what they want. If you get to her office, she will not say, no, as a child of God, my work must be more excellent too. She won't remember that. That is why when you want the whole world to follow you as a preacher, just preach with promises alone. They will follow you. Don't make demands on people's lifestyles. Once on radio, I was teaching. I said, you know what? I wanted to define who a false prophet is. I said, do you know who a false prophet is? Is a prophet who always identifies the cause of your problems, but never, never thinks the cause of that problem is you. That's a false prophet. Why is Israel plundered? It is because of our enemies. No, Moses said, how can one chase 1,000 and two chase 10,000 except that their Lord, their maker, gave them up? So when you ask a true prophet in Israel, why is Israel plundered? They said, because Israel sinned. Therefore, the Lord has strengthened the arm of his enemies against him. That's a true prophet. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the false prophet say, hey, tonight, we are going to face your enemies. All those that say you will never prosper. All those that have stood against your promotion. It is over. It is over. And you see, amen, 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 amen. Oh, you've not been to church, they say amen. I come Western Nigeria, you will see stuff. There are churches that does. Some people not, they don't even listen. As the prayer is going on, amen, amen, you will die, amen. Pastor, what did you say? I don't say the amen finish.